Born Different, Living Strong, My Journey in My Own Words. By Wendy Gideon. My limb differences from birth. I was born missing my right leg above the knee, born with about 1 centimeter of femur. This is known as congenital amputation. In addition, I also have limb differences in my left hand and arm. I was born with syndactyly of the fingers of my left hand and with fewer fingers oligodactyly. A few weeks after birth, the fingers in my left hand were surgically separated into the 3 usable fingers I have today. The thumb bends, but the other 2 fingers do not. My left arm is shorter than my right arm and has a fused elbow joint that prevents me from fully extending or rotating my left arm. My left leg is also shortened and my left foot was complete clubfoot at birth. This means the foot was rotated inwards at 90 degrees. My foot was surgically corrected to face forwards a few weeks after birth, but the ankle is still fused from the procedure. Although my limb differences were a surprise at birth, the suspected cause is most likely amniotic band syndrome. Amniotic band syndrome (ABS) occurs when fibrous bands from the amniotic sac entangle parts of a developing fetus, restricting blood flow and causing congenital abnormalities. These bands can wrap around limbs, fingers, toes, or other body parts, leading to limb deformities and limb amputations. Limb lengthening. At age 10 in 1992, I had a medical procedure called limb lengthening to lengthen the 1 cm of femur I was born with to 10 cm of femur. The purpose of this procedure was to create a longer limb stump for prosthetic leg use. My surgeries were done at Shriners Hospital in Los Angeles. I was told that I was the 8th person in the world to have the procedure done at that time. Limb lengthening occurs via distraction osteogenesis, where the bone is broken in a controlled manner and slowly stretched to stimulate new bone growth. My surgery involved cutting the femur into 2 halves that were then surgically attached to an external device called the Elisarav apparatus, which involved drilling pins into the femur. A total of 4 surgical pins were used for the procedure. Each day, we rotated the apparatus to pull the bone apart 1 millimeter. This procedure lasted about 2 years for me, mostly due to several complications I experienced from the procedure, including infection of the pin sites and hip dislocation. At the point of hip dislocation, we had to pause the lengthening for 6 months while I recovered in a half body cast. Several times the surgeons asked if I wanted to call it quits. However, I was determined to get the full length of the bone as possible. At age 12, we ended the procedure with a total femur length of 10 cm overall. The procedure was a success because it allows me to use a prosthetic leg for daily life activities such as walking around the house, at the grocery store, at work, etc. For short distance walking, the prosthetic leg is a useful mobility tool for me when I need to stand or walk and need the use of my hands. My career. I am currently a biology professor at a community college in San Diego County, where I have worked for 11 years. I have taught college-level biology and microbiology courses for over 17 years. I have a Master of Science in Microbiology and a Doctorate in Higher Education Leadership. I love my job. I learned in graduate school that my passion is teaching and inspiring people to enjoy learning about biology. My interest in biology was sparked at a young age when I was fascinated by my body's ability to regenerate the femur bone during limb lengthening. My family. I am married and have 2 small children, ages 6 and 8. My children are a source of motivation for me to be strong and continue to challenge myself to keep up with them physically. At age 35, my husband taught me how to ride a bike. As a kid growing up with one leg, I struggled to learn to ride a bike with one leg as it is difficult to rotate the pedals without a leg on both sides. However, I was determined to learn to ride a bike when my daughter was a baby because one day I wanted to be able to ride with her. I didn't want her to think that mom's disability prevented me from biking with her. Learning to ride a bike as an adult was humbling and difficult. My husband was very patient in teaching me to ride. We'd go to an open parking lot to practice. First, I worked on balancing the bike on a slight slope downhill. Then, I learned to clip my foot to the bike pedal using a locking mechanism that allows me to rotate the pedal on one side to propel the bike. I fell over 100 times learning to ride a bike. Luckily, I never had any serious injuries from my falls other than scrapes and bruises. However, I just kept with it and eventually it clicked for me. However, the next challenge was learning to mountain bike. Mountain biking involves biking over rough terrain such as gravel, dirt, rocks, or tree roots. It often involves making tight or switchback turns and climbing up steep hills on the bike. Able-bodied mountain bikers overcome these obstacles by standing up to pedal their bike. However, for me, I cannot stand to pedal my bike without pedal strikes on the missing leg side. To compensate for my physical challenges, I eventually got an electric full suspension mountain bike. The e-bike gives me the power I need to tackle steep climbs and navigate obstacles on the trail. You've participated in a variety of outdoor sports like triathlons, hiking, and kayaking. What motivates you to push the boundaries of what's possible for adaptive athletes? A big part of what drives me is simply knowing that the human body is capable of amazing things. I believe that with the right mindset, determination, and a positive attitude, anyone can push the limits of what's considered possible. For people who are limb different, it's hard to know what our boundaries are because our bodies have unusual or rare differences. There aren't the same expectations that exist for able-bodied athletes. I'm constantly experimenting with new strategies or adaptive equipment to fit my needs, such as different crutch types or adaptive. I am curious to find out what my body is capable of in terms of adaptive sports. Only in the past few years have the pieces of the puzzle come together for me to develop the skills to run and bike successfully to compete in a strenuous sporting event such as a triathlon. How have your limb differences shaped your ability to overcome challenges during your adventures? One of my most memorable adventures was a 20.2-mile round trip trek to Talavana Hot Springs near Fairbanks, Alaska. To my knowledge, I'm the first leg amputee to complete this trail entirely on crutches. This strenuous hike tested both my physical and mental stamina. This hike involved steep uphills and downhills, endless mud, and swampy bogs. My crutch tips kept getting stuck in the muck, even with snowshoe adapters. And waves of mosquitoes. We also got an unpredictable mix of Alaskan weather, sunshine, rain, and high winds while summiting two mountain peaks. About halfway in, my family and I stayed in a remote cabin only accessible by bush plane or this hike in the summertime. My limb differences have always forced me to improvise and adapt, and this was no exception. I had to carefully navigate each muddy step and adjust my crutches constantly to keep from sinking. When we finally reached the cabin, I was exhausted, but my kids, then ages 5 and 8, rose to the occasion by cooking meals, fetching spring water, and setting up our supplies so I could rest and recover. Their willingness to pitch in reminded me why I push myself, to show them that even the toughest obstacles can be overcome with teamwork and grit. On the hike back, every mile felt longer than the last, but I just kept taking one step at a time. Finally, close to midnight, after 13 hours of intense hiking, we made it back to our van. I've learned to continue to move forward even when it seems difficult. That's exactly what keeps me going, the knowledge that with the right mindset and support, we can chart our own path and conquer challenges that once seemed impossible. At the end of the 20 miles, I was very sore in my arms and shoulders from using the crutches. However, after just a few days of recovery, I was nearly back to normal. This showed me that my body can handle such a hike and recover. What was the most rewarding and the most challenging part of your recent 20-mile hike in Alaska? Watching my family, especially my kids, rise to the occasion. Seeing them carry their own packs, help cook meals, gather water, and handle the rugged Alaskan wilderness with such enthusiasm really warmed my heart. It reminded me why I push myself in the first place, to show them that no matter our differences, we can accomplish incredible things when we work together. Plus, the scenery was absolutely breathtaking. Summiting those peaks and taking in the views was like stepping into a postcard, and then arriving at the remote cabin felt like traveling back a century in time. The most challenging aspect was definitely the endless mud and bogs, compounded by mosquito swarms and unpredictable weather. My crutches kept sinking into the muck even with adapters, and every step had to be carefully planned. Mentally, there were moments when the trail felt never-ending, especially as we neared midnight on our final push. But I kept reminding myself of the resilience I've developed my entire life. Each obstacle, be it a muddy patch or a steep incline, was another chance to adapt and push forward. The satisfaction of finally reaching the van after 13 hours made every challenging step worth it. The Annapurna Circuit trek is an ambitious goal. How are you preparing physically, mentally, and logistically to tackle such an extreme adventure? I'm focusing on strength and endurance training that specifically targets the muscles I rely on most while hiking on crutches, such as my arms, shoulders, and core. I've upped my weekly mileage on local trails and added more challenging terrain to mimic the UPS and downs I'll encounter in the Himalayas. My mental preparation involves breaking big objectives into smaller milestones, for example, focusing on reaching a certain goal each day instead of feeling overwhelmed by the entire trek at once. Visualization and mindfulness exercises also help me remember that each new challenge, no matter how daunting, is an opportunity to adapt and grow. The Annapurna and Manaslu circuits involve high elevations, so I'm researching and planning for altitude acclimatization. I've watched a considerable amount of YouTube documentaries about the trek I plan to do, and this also helps me with my planning of gear and equipment. What adaptive equipment and gear will be critical for you to successfully complete the Annapurna circuit, and how do you ensure it's tailored to your specific needs? Thomas Fetterman crutches are building me their high-performance titanium forearm crutches for the journey. Once I receive these custom-made crutches, they are currently in production, I will need to hike extensively with these as well to prepare for the journey. The titanium crutches will be more durable but also heavier than my current carbon fiber crutches. I will also have to bring with me several types of interchangeable crutch tips for the journey to navigate between snow, ice, dirt, mud, etc. Additional gear I will need to purchase include a specialized hiking boot that provides extra ankle stability and fits securely. I look for boots with solid ankle support and a stiff sole for rocky or uneven ground. I'm also needing to purchase clothing and backpacking equipment. Clothing is all about layering, especially at high altitudes where the temperature swings wildly. I need to be sure it's breathable, lightweight, and easy to adjust since I'm often stopping to take care of my gear. I will be carrying my own backpack that will include my clothing, down blankets, and personal items. Before heading to the Himalayas, I will put every piece of gear through a dress rehearsal on local trails. I test my crutch tips in mud, gravel, and rocky terrain to see how they hold up. You mentioned that this trek is not just about reaching a peak but also about inspiring others. What do you hope others take away from your journey? I want people to see that your body, your background, or your perceived limitations don't have to stand in the way of extraordinary goals. Yes, it's about exploring beautiful places like the Himalayas, but more importantly, it's about discovering my own capabilities. If I can tackle a world-class trek with limb differences, I hope others realize they can push past whatever barriers they face, too. It's not about conquering mountains so much as conquering the notion that there are fixed limits of what's possible. You've explored the US, Mexico and Canada in a camper van. What were some of the most memorable travel moments from that journey, and how did you adapt to different environments along the way? Traveling through the US, Mexico, and Canada in a camper van was an incredible experience that showed me just how diverse and beautiful North America really is. One moment we DB mountain biking along the Florida coast, and the next we DB parked near a secluded beach in Mexico, listening to the waves crash at night. Then, I DB wake up at dawn and swim a mile or so out to sea. The water was usually warm, clear, and allowed me to see several sea creatures like dolphins, turtles, and rays. One morning, I attempted to swim out to an island I could see from shore. The sea was calm when I left, and it looked like a reasonable distance to swim. However, as I got closer to the island, the wind started picking up and I realized it was getting hard to swim against the waves. Suddenly, I started feeling small stings all along my skin. I looked down and realized I had swam into a jellyfish field. The jellyfish were very small and the stings were not painful, but it was another obstacle to reaching the island. I decided to turn around and head back to shore. It took me several hours to swim back. I am a strong swimmer, and I wasn't worried. I had to swim horizontal to the shore to make it back. In the meantime, my husband had gotten the drone out to come search for me. He knew I was out swimming like every morning. When I finally made it to shore, he was there waiting with my crutches. One of our most unforgettable stops on our camper van adventure was traveling all the way up to the northern edge of Canada, the small community of Tutoyakchuk on the Arctic Ocean. Reaching Tuk, as the locals call it, felt like arriving at the end of the world. The drive itself was an adventure. We took the Dempster Highway, a remote, often unpaved route that traverses vast tundra landscapes and crosses the Arctic Circle. A highlight of our visit was sampling muttuk, a local Inuvialuit delicacy made from whale skin and blubber, often from beluga. It has a unique, chewy texture, and a flavor that's both fatty and slightly briny. Trying muttuk gave us a glimpse into the deep cultural traditions of the region, where hunting and using every part of the whale have been essential to survival for generations. I also had a chance to kayak and dip in the Arctic Ocean. What a contrast from the warm oceans of Mexico. The polar plunge of the Arctic Ocean was as exhilarating as it sounds. The moment I hit the water, every nerve in my body lit up, and I caught my breath with a gasp. It was the coldest water I've ever felt, but there was also a rush of adrenaline that made me feel incredibly alive. How does your family support your adaptive adventures? My two young kids constantly remind me why I push myself in the first place. I want them to grow up knowing that our differences don't define us or limit our abilities. When we did our 20-mile hike in Alaska, they enthusiastically carried their own packs, helped set up the cabin, collected water, and took on responsibilities that freed me up to rest and recover when I needed to. Their grit and adaptability fuels my determination to keep going. My husband has always been incredibly patient and understanding, whether he's teaching me how to mountain bike or cheering me on when I'm facing a steep climb. During the Alaska trip, he never once questioned my ability to complete the hike on crutches. He simply asked, "How can we make this work?" That belief in me has been instrumental in every challenge I take on, including the upcoming Himalayan trek. For an undertaking like the Annapurna Circuit, there's a lot of logistical planning, organizing gear, mapping routes, and sorting out transportation. My husband helps me plan out the details, from testing new crutch tips on local trails to making sure we have the right layers of clothing for drastic temperature changes. He's also willing to carry extra weight if my backpack becomes too cumbersome or if the terrain is especially tough. As a world traveler, How do you approach planning trips to ensure your destinations and activities are accessible and adaptable to your unique needs? I start by reading up on the destination's terrain and climate and consuming as much YouTube and social media as possible about the specific location. This helps me know what to expect. I am very confident of my abilities on forearm crutches, and am most likely to use these on adventures over my prosthetic leg. On forearm crutches, I can tackle different kinds of terrain including snow and ice, steep uphills and downhills, and many miles of distance. I do use athletic tape and thick hiking gloves to prevent blistering of my hands, which is a common outcome of long-distance crutch walking. One of the major benefits of trekking in regions like Manaslu and Annapurna is the tea house system, which places simple lodges every 5 to 15 miles along the trail. These tea houses provide lodging, hot meals, and potable water, which drastically reduces the amount of gear and supplies I need to haul in my backpack or, in my case, navigate with on crutches. Carrying less means I can focus more on safe, steady movement across rough terrain rather than worrying about large, cumbersome packs. Plus, with tea houses spaced relatively close together, if I need extra rest, a change of pace, or an unplanned multi-day stop, I can almost always find a welcoming spot without pushing myself to exhaustion. That level of flexibility is crucial given the fact that trekking on crutches demands constant energy management. I can enjoy the adventure of a multi-day trek while still having the reliability of regular stops for food, shelter, and social interaction, a perfect match for my adaptive style of travel. Most able-bodied hikers complete the Manaslu and Annapurna trek in a few weeks. We are planning to extend it to about 2 months to allow for recovery time and the fact I hike slower than able-bodied hikers. What is your best travel experience to date? One of my all-time favorite adventures took place before my husband and I had children, when we joined a few friends on an unforgettable journey to northern Sweden, above the Arctic Circle. We traveled for 2 weeks by dog sled, which was already thrilling on its own, but the setting made it feel like we had been transported to another world entirely. The temperatures dipped as low as minus 40 degrees Celsius, a kind of cold that you don't just feel, you hear it crunching under your boots and see it crystallizing your breath in the air. Each night, we de-arrive at a remote log cabin surrounded by snowy expanses. There was no running water, so we had to melt snow or collect water from a nearby frozen stream. This meant chopping ice, hauling it back to the cabin, and then waiting patiently for it to melt on the wood stove so we could drink, cook, or even just wash our hands. Those cabins had a real back-to-basics charm. We de-chop wood for the stove, share stories by candlelight since there was no electricity, and bundle up in heavy sleeping bags. Everyone had to pitch in to keep the group well-fed and warm. Guiding a dog sled through the silent, snow-blanketed landscape felt like stepping into a storybook. The only sounds were the crunch of snow under the sled, the soft panting of the huskies, and the occasional whoosh of wind across the tundra. Because we went in winter, we had only a few hours of dim, bluish daylight each day. But that made the nights extra special. Every single night, we were treated to a show of northern lights dancing across the sky, ribbons of green, purple, and pink that shimmered and shifted. There's no describing the sense of awe you feel standing under that cosmic light show at minus 40 degrees Celsius in the silent wilderness. That trip was a lesson in resilience and simplicity, no phones, no distractions, just the basics of survival and the incredible beauty of the Arctic. Sharing it with my husband and close friends made it truly a bonding experience. We still talk about it today even though it's been 10 years now since that trip, winter of 2014. We want to bring the kids there someday, maybe when they are teenagers, so they can have an epic adventure experience. It was also the perfect example of how traveling somewhere challenging can reward you with memories that last a lifetime. Your recommended places to visit for a more vacation type place, I'd recommend both Hawaii or the Florida Keys. Sometime I really crave tropical vibes and I love water activities like snorkeling or scuba. Other recommendations, Canadian Rockies Banff National Park, hike or take a gondola ride for panoramic mountain views, paddle across the bright blue waters of Lake Louise, and soak in the Banff Upper Hot Springs. B. Oaxacan Coast, Mexico, dramatic Pacific coastlines, rich cultural heritage, and vibrant culinary traditions. C. Baja Peninsula, Mexico, a diverse region that spans deserts, mountains, and coastlines on both the Pacific Ocean and Sea of Cortez sides. D. British Columbia, Canada, this province marries rugged coastline with lush rainforests, dramatic peaks, and thriving urban centers. E. Alaska, colossal glaciers, abundant wildlife, and endless summer daylight in the summertime midnight sun. F. Bali, Indonesia, lush tropical landscapes, welcoming culture, cany wandering across waterfalls, multiple rivers to raft, cliff jumping. What challenges have you faced while traveling to remote or less developed regions, and how have those experiences shaped your perspective on adventure and resilience? Each remote destination has taught me that accessible is a relative term. Sometimes, I create my own accessibility by adapting equipment or leaning on a supportive travel partner. I've learned that resilience isn't about avoiding difficulties, it's about embracing them as opportunities to grow and learn. When I pushed past my comfort zone, in remote deserts, icy tundra, or isolated villages, I've then discovered that I'm capable of so much more than I realized. What advice do you have for travelers with limb differences? First, begin by researching the adventure destination. I do this by watching YouTube documentaries, reading traveler forums, and reaching out to locals or guides who can describe trail conditions, lodging, and transportation options. Next, I find that testing my gear and adaptive mobility tools is key. I practice with my crutches on varied terrain, sand, mud, gravel, snow, before I leave. I also plan for the possibility of a slower pace. If a hike is taking longer than expected due to terrain, I'll want the freedom to adapt my schedule without stress. Which destination has been the most transformative for you, and why? One of the most transformative destinations for me is the Baja Peninsula in Mexico. It is very close to my home in San Diego, and every trip down there feels like entering another world. A lot of people are afraid to travel to Mexico because of fear of the cartels or other horror stories they've been told. I visited Baja for the first time in my early 30s. One of my first experiences was swimming with whale sharks during their peak season in September. We camped on a remote beach and no one else was around. This was another trip with my husband and our friends before we had kids. Swimming with whale sharks is one of those experiences that feels almost unreal, almost like stepping into a nature documentary. It's the kind of experience that transforms your perspective on marine life and stays with you for a lifetime.